remarkable achievements. He had to thank for it an excellent constitution bequeathed to him by his parents, certain traces of refinement in manner and speech, and the fears of very ignorant men. When the distribution office, like his Hepplewhite furniture, his colour prints, and his English glass, was with yesterday's 7,000 years, it is more than possible that Theodore Savage, looking back on his youth, saw existence, till he neared the age of 30, as a stream of scarcely ruffled content. Sitting crouched to the fire in the sweat-laden air of his cabin or humped idly on a hillside in the dusk of summer evening, it may well have seemed, when his thoughts strayed backwards, that the young man who once was impossibly himself was a being whom care did not touch. What he saw with the eye of his mind and memory was a neat young Mr. Savage, who was valeted in comfortable chambers and who worked without urgence for limited hours in a room that looked on Whitehall, who in his plentiful leisure gained a minor reputation on the golf links, who frequented studios, bought, now and then, a picture and collected English glass and bits of furniture, who was passably good-looking in an ordinary way, had a thoughtful taste in socks and ties, and was careful of his hands, as a woman. So through the vista of years and the veil of contrast, Theodore may have seen his young manhood. And in time, perhaps it was difficult for a coarse-fingered labourer, dependent for his bread on the moods of nature, to sympathise greatly with the troubles of neat Mr. Savage, or think of him as subject to the major afflictions of humanity. All the same, he would spend long hours in communion with his vanished self, striving at times to trace resemblances between the bearded, roughened features that a fishing pool reflected, and the smooth-chinned civil servant with brushed hair and white collar whom he followed in thought through his work, his amusements, his love-making, and the trivial details of existence. And imagining sometimes the years and the happenings that might have been, if his age, like his youth, had been soaped and collared, routined by his breeding and his office, if gods and men had not run amok in frenzy, and his sons had been born of a woman who lived delicately, playing Chopin of an evening to a young Mr. Savage and giving him cream in his tea? Even if life in his civil service days was not all that shone through the years of contrast, Theodore Savage could have had very little hardship to complain of in the days when he added to a certain amount of private income a salary earned by the duties of the unexacting billet which a family interest had secured for him. If he had no particular vocation for the bureaucratic life, if good painting delighted and official documents bored him, he had sufficient common sense to understand that it is given to most of us, with sufficient application, to master the intricacies of official documents, while only to few is it given to master an art. After a phase of abortive experiment in his college days, he had realized, fortunately, that his swift and instinctive pleasure in beauty had in it no creative element, whereupon he settled down early and easily into the life and habits of the amateur. There remained with him, to the end of his days, an impression of a young man living pleasurably, somewhat fastidiously, pursuing his hobbies, indulging his tastes, on the whole without much damage to himself or to others affected. Acting decently, according to his code, and when he fell in love, and out of it, falling not too grossly or disastrously. If he had a grievance against his work at the distribution office, it was no more serious than this. It took much time, certain hours every day, from the interests that counted in his life. And against that grievance, no doubt, he set the ameliorating fact that his private means, unaided, would hardly have supported his way of existence, his many pleasant interests and himself. It was his civil servant's salary that had furnished his rooms in accordance with his taste, and made possible the purchase of his treasured Fragonard and his bell-toned Georgian wine glasses. The bearded toiler, through a mist of years, watched a young man